This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we have reached the halfway point of the week. Good morning. It is Wake Up Call of the SportsMap Radio Network. Glad you can be with us. Something happened in Major League Baseball last night, but it's kind of one of those things, right, where you're not getting the enthusiastic crowd atmosphere, so it diminishes the accomplishment. So late last night, the Oakland A's were playing the Texas Rangers. You know, one of those classic AL West battles. And the game was tied at one. And the Athletics had the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning. And Stephen Piscotty stepped up to the plate. And guess what he did? He hit a grand slam. Not just a grand slam, a walk-off grand slam. And it was the second walk-off grand slam the A's have had in 11 games so far this season. Did anybody go crazy? No. Did the cardboard cutouts jump up and down and scream? No. It must have been the most subdued walk-off grand slam in the history of Major League Baseball. Even if you do it on the road, there'll be still a level of appreciation, and you're probably doing it to a few fans that have come to because they root for you in the town they live in when you're traveling. But the emptiness of the Oakland Athletics Stadium led to nothing. But that's the price we're paying for this baseball season. Nevertheless, still a fantastic accomplishment for the one Stephen Piscotty of the A's, and they won 5-1. I am getting used to this. I will say that it is not easy. It is hard watching some basketball last night. You are reminded that this is going to be a crowdless postseason when they finally get there. And also, too, the PGA Championship is going to be held starting on Thursday at Harding Park in San Francisco. We're going to talk about that coming up in a little bit. There's going to be no crowd there. Now, for the regular tour events, that's fine. I'm not really a avid watcher of the tour events, but I am an avid watcher of the majors. And the idea that a Phil Mickelson or a Tiger Woods or even a Jordan Spieth or a Justin Rose or somebody could be making a big move up the leaderboard and no buzz or atmosphere, going to be difficult to see. But we will talk about some of the things that you can expect this week from the PGA Championship, golf's first major. Coming up next, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio Network. Good morning. So the PGA Championship will begin on Thursday. Did you know we're about 13 months removed from the last major golf has played? Last year, they moved the PGA Championship, which was normally in August, to May. That's where it's going to be under normal circumstances. So last year, we had the Masters in April, the PGA Championship in May, the U.S. Open in June, and then the Open Championship in July. And then after that, done. That's it. Over. So this year, we got to the Masters, nothing. We got to the U.S. Open, nothing. The Open Championship this year in Great Britain, canceled. So the PGA Championship, which starts on Thursday, is the first major golf has had in about 13 months. It's a long time to go without a major title. So they're playing at TPC Harding Park out in San Francisco. And this is not a familiar track to a lot of golf fans who may have heard that a major is going on in San Francisco, so they might be thought Olympic Club or some other place like that. But instead, it's TPC Harding Park, which is a municipal course. It's going to be short by standards. I think it's 7,200 yards, which means Bryson DeChambeau should have a hole-in-one and a par five at some point.
Well, I was going to say, tournament. I mean, he'll finish the course in one stroke, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, he'll just drive every possible
He'll drive
possible
the 7,200
green.
Yards.
I played golf yesterday for my birthday, and I kid you not.
Glad you did that.
I am, too. My wife is, too, because she kept urging me to. She said, it's a beautiful day. go to the course and play. And I usually go by myself because I play at times when my buddies are at work. So I don't usually play on the weekends. So I went to this course and I, you know, said, "Hey, can I get on?" And he goes, "Absolutely." It was dead. I went by myself. I had the whole course to myself. I think I saw two groups the entire time I was playing. I was just blasting through. I played some holes twice just for fun. I hit a couple of balls off the tee. I mean, I had a great time. But you know what I did, just because I'm, you know, curious? So I hit this one drive, one of a few, that actually was decent, right? Right down the middle, pretty far, caught it on the screws, pretty proud of myself. So I went out and I was like, all right, how far is this? And I had one of those devices that, like, you know, like you hit mark where you are, and then you go to the ball and then you hit mark and it shows you how far you've went by some sort of plus or minus, you know, GPS system, right, if you will. So I had one out there about 275, which for me is a long drive, but it, I caught it downwind and it caught some roll. So then just for kicks, I said, let me go like 360, 350. And I moved up to where a Bryson DeChambeau drive would be. And it was amazing. Like, I just, because again, I had the course to myself, so I had time to kind of do these little experiments. And I was like, this is inhuman. I was like, you mean to tell me he would have driven it this far?
Could you see the tee box from where you were standing?
No, that's what made it so awesome, is I could turn around and go, I can't even see where it started. It's like 100 yards. It's 100 yards further than the best drive I've probably had in 7 years. And I got it downwind. So which means he probably would have hit it 400 yards downwind. It's unbelievable what this guy's doing for swing speed. So nevertheless, the PGA Championship starting on Thursday. So here's the thing. Tiger Woods is only playing his second tournament since golf started up again a couple of months ago. Or maybe it was last month. God, losing track of time. No, it was early June. So people are saying, look, this is very difficult for anybody who hasn't gotten tournament ready to be able to contend in a major. Now, listen, I'm not one that I'm not going to bet against Tiger, right? I mean, look, I'm not going to tell you he can't win. Of course he can win. But I will say, I wish he had played more tournament golf, because it is a different beast than going to Medalist and hitting the ball around and practicing on your home backyard putting green. It's a totally different thing. So I want to see Tiger contend. I mean, because he moves the needle better than anybody. But this is going to be a wide open PGA. Now, Brooks Koepka is the 2-time defending champion. And I'm starting to think, but when you look at the field, I think it's a wide open major championship. Now, I think the fact that there is going to be no crowd lends itself to golfers who normally get put into these, like, I'm playing with Tiger, or I'm playing with Phil, or I'm playing with Rory, and the atmosphere is a little different. I maybe never experienced this. There might be an up and coming player in this championship that can take advantage of not having the sort of bubble feel of having a crowd all on top of you because you're playing with one of the major stars of the game. Who knows? But I don't know. This could be fun to watch. I just think the crowd, though, there's so much lost in a major championship, because there's such an incredible buzz when certain players are in contention. I mean, you go to a golf tournament, if Tiger's in contention, you know it. If Phil's in contention, you know it. There are a number of other guys where you can feel it throughout the golf course that there's something going on, because you can feel the attention shifting. You can feel the noise, the buzz, the crowd roar is coming through the trees from a certain area of the golf course. And there's guys who do that, and that's not going to be around. Isn't it going to be weird if, let's say, Tiger is in contention for this? Let's say Tiger is moving up the leaderboard and he's one shot back with two to play, and not have the crowd and not feel it through your television? Because at the Masters, that's exactly what I felt a year ago when he was playing consistent enough and watching Koepka and Molinari and a number of other players that were trying to play along with him fall apart. Remember, Tiger won that major, won the Masters by playing consistent, right? He played, he was willing to go lay up on the par fives, hit to the middle of the green, make the two putts, while Koepka, Molinari, and everybody else was putting it in the water and, you know, making bold moves. He played consistent enough and then took his shot at 16, where he knocked it close and made birdie. But the atmosphere was electric. Do you remember when he won at East Lake when he captured the Tour Championship and they had to, like, surround him with guards?
Yeah.
Because the crowd was pouring onto the course. Like, I'm going to miss that this week if Tiger is in contention, or if Phil's in contention, or anyone else that is likable in the golf world.
It's just, you know, it's just the roar.
Yeah.
The roar of that crowd, because when you even hear it sometimes when they're focused on one person, you can hear something going on somewhere else, and then they'll cut too, and like, oh, this is what happened just a few moments ago.
I love that.
You know, but you heard it beforehand, and you know, and maybe it distracts the golfer who they're focusing on, or maybe it doesn't. But it's just that feeling that you get, or then when you finally do see the videotape of it,
right?
You know, it's so intense sometimes that you feel like you're actually there watching it.
Yeah, like right.
You get that feeling in your chest, too, like, yes!
Especially if there's a lot, because here's the thing about the PGA Championship. All the majors are defined by something, right? Like, the Masters is defined by playing at the same course every single year. The U.S. Open is where they try to make it so tough that par is the winning score. The British Open is usually affected by weather. And so it doesn't matter if it's sunny all week and the winning score is 18 under. Yeah, then that's good for them.
You know,
but
normally it's
like 4 or 5 under because of the wind and the rain.
The Open is always fun because everyone's wearing like long sleeves. They got jackets on.
Yeah, exactly. It's like July.
It's July and you're sitting here like, how are they doing that? It's so hot.
Yeah, I'm boiling and they're in England freezing playing around a golf. But the PGA is none of those things. The PGA doesn't mind if birdies are accessible. They don't want to set up the course impossible. They don't want to embarrass the world's best golfers, because the thing about the Masters is an invitational golf tournament. It is run by Augusta National. It's not affiliated with the USGA or the RNA. It's its own thing, and players choose to go there because that golf course, the people that run that golf course, invite them to play in the tournament. The USGA runs the US Open, so they're the official governing body of golf in the United States. They run that. The RNA run the British Open. They're the international governing body. The PGA runs the PGA Championship, and this is a professional golf tournament. There are no amateurs at the PGA Championship. This is a professional golfers championship, and it also includes club pros from around the country. Really good guys that you see at your local golf course. If they're good enough to make the field, they'll play in this. There is no interest at all in embarrassing any one of those guys when they play at the tournament. They do not want the rough to be up to the ankles or the knees. They don't want the greens to be so fast they're unplayable. They want these guys to be 12, 13, 14 under par. They want to showcase the best golfers in the world because it's a showcase for professional golfers. So that being said, here's a golf course that's short, right? By standards, by pro standards. Par 70, 7,200 yards, short. It's a municipal, so it's not designed to be super. It was designed like in the 20s. It's not designed to be impossible to play, meaning it's pretty straightforward. And you've got guys now who are hitting it 3,000 yards. This should be a blast. This should be a great, fun major championship. And it should be wide open. One guy you got to watch for, though, Jordan Spieth. Spieth has not been playing well over the last couple of years, but he always focuses on this one because this is the one he needs for the career Grand Slam, which is very, very few people have been able to accomplish that. And Phil Mickelson, for example, doesn't have a career Grand Slam. I think Tiger has it like three times over. Like, I think he's won each major at least three times. But Phil Mickelson doesn't have one. Sam Snead doesn't have one. Arnold Palmer doesn't have one. So he could become one of a very few amount of players in the history of the sport to have gotten all four major championships. But he has not been playing particularly well over the last couple of years. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue along. One NFL player who got coronavirus said he's thinking about opting out. We'll tell you who it is next on Wake Up Call. Yeah, it's like a bomb, 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 bomb.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and their professional parts people will help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so, but you know what I did yesterday, too, for my birthday, which was kind of fun? We do this all the time. My wife goes and buys the flavored Lay's chips, the different ones that come out, you know, those like unique flavored potato chips. And then we kind of hang around as a family and we eat them and we say, we find out if they're good or not. But for some reason, we did this when my kids were little and we had fun and we did it last night. The chips were New York style pizza, Nashville hot chicken, and Philly cheesesteak.
Okay.
All right. The Philly cheesesteak was pretty good, but because it was based on Gino's cheesesteaks in Philadelphia, which uses Cheese Whiz.
And you're more of a Pat's guy.
I guess I'm more of a Pat's guy. It was more like a cheese onion, you know, like a cheesy onion type of chip. It wasn't, you know. And then the New York pizza, I have no idea who created the flavor profile for that. I didn't know what they were trying to do with it. It tasted, I guess, tomato-y, but if you put these in a bowl, no one would just, they'd go, oh, these chips got some flavor to them, but I don't know what flavor it is. Now the Nashville hot chicken, that actually was pretty good if you like spicy chips. Because, you know, when they do the, like they did this with chicken and waffles, and I think they had another chicken type of flavored chip that they did. All they do is they use that, you know, like ramen noodle chicken powder.
Yeah.
That's all they use. That's basically what they use to flavor anything with chicken. So they just basically had like spicy sauce and this powder from like ramen noodles on your potato chip. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. The best one, I think, that I ever had with them was biscuits. It was like sausage and biscuits or southern biscuits or something. Man, it was, for some reason, it was delicious.
Really?
Yeah. Some of them aren't very good, but some of them are pretty decent.
My middle son, he loves the pizza flavored Pringles.
Oh, yeah.
Those are his favorite. And I keep going back and trying them. I just can't get around to it.
I can't figure out the pizza flavoring.
I don't know.
Well, the thing was, the chip was delicious. Don't get me wrong. It was fine. I kept eating it and it was good, but I was disappointed because I couldn't get the pizza flavor out of it. But whatever it was a fine pizza. I mean, fine, a potato chip, but that was kind of neat. So that was, that's how I closed off birthday 2020 with a bang, eating potato chips and judging the flavors after playing golf. So. That was it. I like, I got so many, like, you know, Facebook gives you all these wishes. I want to respond to everybody, but I can't. So I just do a generic, thanks, everybody. I'm just getting older. Goodbye. Moving on in the world of life. So that was it for yesterday. So Von Miller of the Broncos, who had coronavirus back in April, says he's considering opting out of the season. Now, he said that he really had a hard time. He's asthmatic, so he had a really hard time breathing during all this. So he said, listen, it took me a while. I lost a lot of weight. I had trouble getting my wind back for a couple of weeks. I lost my taste and my smell, so I lost weight. Because when you lose your taste and smell, you just kind of lose your appetite. So he didn't really want to eat. So he says those are experiences as to why he might consider was considering opting out for the upcoming season. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, but you can't get corona again, can you? So isn't he already clear of this?
No, I think you can get coronavirus again.
Can you get corona again?
One of the things that I know they've noticed, especially with Tom Hanks, because he got it early on, is that the antibodies that he has for it are going away.
So it's going away?
Yeah.
That's how it works? Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, I guess they're diminishing.
That's true. But it could be a different, could you get a different strand of this or
probably
something? Like, so my question is, when you get it and you get to overcome it, if you don't have the risk of getting it again, why would you not want to play this upcoming season?
Or maybe he won't get it, the full force of it again, but he'll be a carrier.
All right. Because I started wondering, and this is why I'm bringing the story up. I'm starting to wonder because of him. Like, my first thought was, wait, he already had the coronavirus. Two, he can't get it again. But three, is he considering this almost as to send a message to everybody that, look, this is so bad. I don't want anybody to experience this. So I'm taking a stand. I can afford to do this. I'm young enough to do this. It's not going to affect my status as one of the premier defensive players in the game. I'm not going to play because I want people to know I'm an athlete and this really was debilitating. So I'm going to take a stand by saying, no, we're not ready to play football this upcoming season because this virus is no joke. Or maybe he is worried about getting it again if you can get it again. I kind of thought once you got it, you kind of had immunity to it, and then you didn't have to worry about it again, which is why people were saying, let the kids get it, then they get immunity to it, and then we flatten it. If everybody can get it multiple times, we're never going to be done with this. Like, this life we're living is just going to get worse for the rest of our lives until there's a vaccine. Like, until there's a vaccine, if this is, you know, if you can get it multiple times. But I thought once you got it once, that was it. But you're saying Tom Hanks's body is now taking the antibodies and kind of chucking them, getting rid of them? That's a little, I don't know. That'd be too bad if that's the case. So now I might understand Von Miller's point a little bit more. If he can get this a second time, maybe he should be really careful. Because again, being an asthma sufferer that he is and having trouble breathing, I'm sure he doesn't want to go through this again. Right? I mean, look, I don't know very many people that have gotten this virus personally, but I've known a couple. And both of them that I know who have told me about it said it was the worst thing they have ever gone through ever.
Yeah.
Now, one of them was older. One of them is in his 40s. Another one that we know is just 21. So she doesn't have like a whole list of things that she's dealt with in her life. So for her to tell us it's the worst thing ever, well, everything's the worst thing ever for a 21-year-old. But my friend who's about 43, he got it. He said it was an awful, awful experience. So if Von Miller went through this and he can go through this again, I get it. I absolutely get it. Because he's one of the high profile athletes that got this thing early. And because we were kind of in quarantine boredom, his story on what he was going through made, you know, news to everybody. Because it's like, oh, why not read about Von Miller and what he's going through with the coronavirus? And it was atrocious for him. So, but I was wondering if he was basically trying to remind not only the league, but the players in the league, look, this is no joke. This is serious. You know, I mean, I train, I have to work out for a living. So I'm in good shape. I watch my weight, I diet, I don't eat junk. I take myself, I take my health seriously. But even with all of those things going for me, this thing still had me in the corner of the ropes, punching me in every direction. So I know what it's like to go through this. I don't think we're ready for the onslaught of the outbreak, and I want to opt out to sort of remind, to sort of send a message to some other athletes. If you've got some asthma or you've got some health issues, you could still play football, but the coronavirus is no joke. And I thought maybe that's where he was
going. Maybe, or just telling the young kids, hey, guys, take this seriously.
Yeah, maybe so.
Don't go out to clubs.
Yeah. First person that I knew that got it that told me this, how, you know, what you went through, all I kept thinking was, I will not survive that. If that's the same thing, if I get this virus and I go through that, I won't make it, because that sounded terrible. Like, she couldn't breathe. It sounded, somebody was on her chest. I'm like, forget it. I'm too old and fat. I can't breathe. Forget it. But just was an interesting development at a Broncos camp yesterday.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Hey, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask. Not all offer the same comfort and protection. I recommend the Boomer Naturals three-layer comfortable and highly breathable mask. They come in sizes for adults, teens, and children. They're in stock now. They ship to you fast. These are great. They have got the nano silver technology woven into the fabric. Now, nano silver can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth. That's what we want right now, and it is the best protection. Boomer also offers those popular nano silver neck gaiters. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use the promo code Tony, save 20%. That's promo code Tony. You can save 20% at BoomerNaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online. BoomerNaturals.com. And another great thing, Boomer Naturals donates one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities. That helps tens of thousands of Americans in need. I love that. BoomerNaturals.com. Promo code Tony, save 20%. All right, so I did look it up during the break. There, epidemiologists and immunologists are still aren't sure if you could get the coronavirus a second time. They are not ruling it out, but they don't have any real evidence that somebody could get it a second time. So it's not completely out of the woods that Von Miller is nervous about getting it a second time, but it's possible he may not. But it's also possible that he is saying, hey, look, I don't want to even risk it. I didn't like it when I had it. I really had a hard time with it. It was very, very difficult. I'd rather not go through it again. You can understand there's a little, could be a little nervousness if you've gone through it a first time and you're not 100% sure you can't get it again. I can understand that. It probably was a harrowing time for Von Miller. Look, the opt-out date is coming up for the NFL. I'm curious in the end how many players will just elect to go through the season, and what if anybody has a last-minute change of heart for this upcoming year. I'm also curious as to how many people will risk during the season just say, you know what, I don't care what this means for me. I don't care how penalized I get in a contract. I'm done. I did this for 4 months, 4 weeks. I don't like the way we're doing this. I don't like the way the protocols aren't being followed. I'm out. Yadier Molina of the Cardinals admitted he had coronavirus. He was one of the positive tests that came from the Cardinals, who are quarantining in Milwaukee, had their series with the Tigers postponed. They're hopefully getting to St. Louis Friday for a series with the Cubs. Colton Wong was another one of the players, a couple of others. I think 7 players in all and 13 members of the organization had tested positive for the virus. So that's where baseball, that's where baseball is. NFL will probably have some more. Meanwhile, the NHL and the NBA continue to go along perfectly with their bubble. Now, there is a story out of Fort Collins, Colorado. The football team, some players on the football team are saying that coaches are telling players not to report COVID. Can I just make this one statement to the University of Colorado State? If you have evidence that a coach told a player not to report COVID symptoms, fire that coach immediately. Like, immediately. Like, if this is actually going on, some sort of exaggeration of a conversation by players or a attention grabbing, I won't tell you who it was, but I was told type of quote. If you have evidence that a coach at that school told players not to report COVID-19 symptoms and also threatened players with reduced playing time if they quarantine, fire them immediately. Immediately. Like, you can't have this at the university. The college football and college basketball and all the college sports in general are really hanging on by a thread. They do not need this kind of publicity, if this is true. Absolutely not. You need coaches' cooperation so that the sport can go on, much to our entertainment and to the benefit of the players who want to play, who do not want to have their college experience derailed by this whatsoever. It's going to need cooperation from everybody. Every school across the country, every coach across the country has to all be on the same page as how we're dealing with this. Yes, it could mean the loss of your star running back or quarterback or linebacker or whoever. Yes, they'd have to quarantine. Yes, they'd lose valuable practice time. But we all have to be on the same page here. The moment reports like this start coming out, the moment you start hearing the football guy, the crazy football coach that only cares about football and winning and all of those things, the moment that stereotype of what we kind of know as the really, you know, the rough college, the rough football coach that only cares about football, the moment that is allowed to permeate into the public, the less likely this season is going to kick off. The less likely you're going to have a situation where people are going to accept it kicking off. You don't want that. What you want is stories of coaches saying, I don't care what this means for my upcoming season. I don't care if we lose all of our games. I don't care if we have to forfeit two or three games. The safety of my players is the most important thing. I have put in place the proper protocol based on the guidelines given to me by my conference. We are adhering to that all the way through. We're not circumventing it in any capacity. And if it means on a Thursday that you hear that a running back that is running for over 100 yards a game and is instrumental to our offense has been quarantined with this virus and won't play in the big game, then that's the way it's going to be. If you have stories like this popping out, the credibility of what college athletics is trying to do, again, completely different than the professionals, where the professional athletes, and we've been saying this a lot, are at the bargaining table. For them to sit at the bargaining table with the owners across the way and say, what can we all do to make this happen? We'd like to get paid. You'd like to get paid. Let's make this happen in some capacity. College athletics, college athletes don't have this at all. They don't have this voice. So if this is true, find out, Colorado State, if it is true. Because one, it's disturbing. And two, it requires you as a university to step in and take the stand that this will not happen. So sorry, defensive backs coach, you're now unemployed because you made the wrong decision. And if it trickles up to the head coach, he's gone too. I don't care who it is. I don't care how far it goes. If you are telling athletes to keep their mouth shut, if they have a fever, losing taste and smell, have this virus in any capacity, then they have to leave your university. They have to leave your payroll and fast. And you have to make it public. And you have to come out and say that here's why we're doing it. So that you can come clean, so that everybody else across the country can know, hey, we got to be on the same page in this. Nobody wants college football to happen more than me. Right, I love college football, and because I have a son who's going to the University of Florida, I want him to have something fun to root for. I went to the University of South Carolina because I grew up in New Hampshire, where college football is pretty much an afterthought. It doesn't really exist, right? I mean, it's, you know, University of New Hampshire plays it, but Dartmouth plays it in the Ivy League, but that's it. My favorite player growing up as a kid was Doug Flutie because he played for Boston College. Right. But I knew and I loved college football. I was one. Let me tell you how I was one of the only few kids in my school that knew college football. Like when I would talk to my buddies about sports, we'd all talk about and argue sports in the lunch hall or wherever. I was like the only one that could tell you who was up for the Heisman. I could tell you who was leading the AP poll. I could tell you what was going on at USC, what was going on at Alabama and other schools across the country. I followed it. I loved it. I read everything I could about it. But my friends didn't grow up in that environment, and they didn't care about it. So when I went to the University of South Carolina, I wanted to be in a, I mean, I wanted college football. So I want this sport to go down, but I do not want this sport to be tainted in any way by corrupt coaches who are looking at this and feeling a little pressure on one side to do their job effectively and pressure on the other side to make sure that they follow all of these guidelines and protocols to the T, to the letter. Because if those two worlds collide and they lean towards the, I need to get results because there'll be one day where this virus will be gone or handled or it'll be controlled, and I need to show my career's projection that I've done this right, that, you know, all these, that on the field product has been great, well, then you've got a problem. You got a problem. And to those coaches out there, where would you rather be on, where would you like to fall on? The coach that did the right thing by making sure that the players are safe in the best way possible, or being disgraced nationally as an idiotic coach who told players to keep the symptoms quiet and threatened players with reduced playing time if they did quarantine. If this story is true at the University of Colorado State, I should say, then absolutely focus on finding out if this is true if you are a university president or athletic director. Because if this went on, I'll tell you right now, if this went on if you heard this story out of, you know, Tennessee or Ohio State or Michigan or any place like that, maybe it'd be bigger news. I mean, I don't know how big the Colorado State out of the Mountain West is going to track in terms of, you know, college football / coronavirus stories, but this is terrible. I mean, it's a terrible story. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Couple of tweets coming in. We'll get to those coming up. Your thoughts on that and your thoughts of the upcoming college football season? I mean, I'm hoping we have it. Late September is the start. The SEC has pushed up practice. So now practice was supposed to start Friday. It's going to start on the 17th. And it makes sense because they pushed the season to the 26th. So why not move up practice? Again, get everything in line. Get everything. Make sure you're following the protocols. Have practice. Get your season underway third week or so in September, and off you go. All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us here on a Wednesday. We've reached the midweek point. And again, PGA Championship starting tomorrow. It's golf's first major. This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On Twitter, Josh says, you really have to applaud what the New Orleans Saints are attempting to do. The report I read is that the Saints organization rented an entire hotel to create a miniature bubble. I heard that too. Whether or not that works is yet to be seen. I love it. I think more teams should do that. Create a bubble. You know, let them stay in the hotel as best you possibly can.
Bring in Monte Carlo night and ping pong.
Exactly. Have fun. Michael on Twitter, the PGA Championship used to be match play until 1958. They changed the format because of television, and they wanted top players for Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, match play doesn't work on TV. It's actually kind of atrocious. The U.S. Amateur is match play, and they have the match play championship. They have the one event, I think, on the PGA Tour. There might be two match play events, but I think there's one. It doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because it's boring. I'm sorry, it's boring. Like, one of the reasons golf telecasts are fun is because, like you were saying, Ron, you can watch like Jordan Spieth at 12, right? And as he's lining up a putt, you can hear in the background. And as soon as Spieth makes his putt, then you can have Jim Nance go, let's go to 15, Vern Lundquist. And this is what caused it all. And then you can watch like Tiger draining a 30-foot putt and the place is electric. You bounce around. You go from place to place to place. I used to cover the international golf tournament. I've gone to a couple of majors. I've covered a couple of major championships. I always liked, because I'm lazy, I like sitting in the media center and watching it on TV. Like, I'd go around and walk the course and kind of see some people live. But when I have to cover it, like a lot of times my station, because the international was a big Colorado event, so the stations I would work for wanted me to do these call-ins like every half an hour. And then we had sponsors for them and everything, and I would give an update of what was going on at the international. It's just much easier to sit in the tent in the air conditioning media center with the milkshakes and the food and just make phone calls. I could do it from my house if I wanted to, but it was better to be on site. But I didn't want to walk around a golf course and miss 99.9% of the action. So golf on TV works the exact same way. Yeah, golf, here's what happens in match play, right? Guys hit the drive. Then we take a commercial break. Then they hit their shots. And then we either do two things. We take another commercial break, or we watch them walk to the hole.
I mean, it's funny because you would think that match play would work because of our love of tournaments.
Right. Head-to-head matchups.
Head-to-head matchups. Yeah. We love it. But in golf, yeah, it gets confusing sometimes.
Sure. And a lot of people don't understand it. They don't understand they don't understand the format of it. It's not complex, but it's not normal. What they do with these match play events is they go, hey, you know what? We're going to send the two guys that are going to compete for the title, and then we're going to have another match of the third and fourth place people, because they need something else to show you when guys are walking to the hole. and they don't have any action. They got to go, well, let's see if we can have another group that's out here playing, right? And then it match play is actually kind of a fun way to play golf. If you've ever done it, it's, I mean, I used to play, I was in this media tournament in Colorado and it was all match play. And what makes it awesome is, let's say, Ron, you and I are playing match play and you drive your ball right down the middle of the fairway and I hit it into the water, and then I'm hitting my third shot from the side of the water and I hit it in the water again. We could just go, yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done. Like, we don't even have to finish the hole. I can just be like, look, yeah, I'm going to be hitting my fifth shot. You're in the middle of the fairway with 100 yards to go.
Although
there's no need to do this. Let's
be quiet, honest. If that was the scenario we were faced up against, I would say, no, why don't you go ahead and finish, because I'm guaranteeing a four putt here.
I know. Yeah, exactly. So that's what makes it a little bit more interesting. And you have guys like, I concede that putt, then I won't concede it later. Like, you see, like, oh, take a five-footer, it's good. And then later in the round, they go, no, you got to putt that now. Now that we got money on it, let's putt that. But, yeah, the PGA Championship used to be match play. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.